The message is entitled, The Firstborn and His Inheritance. The Firstborn and His Inheritance. Beginning in Numbers, the 3rd chapter, verse 13. The Lord says to Moses, Because all the firstborn are mine, on the first day that I smote all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, I hallowed unto me all the firstborn in Israel, both man and beast, mine shall they be, I am the Lord. You know, when God put a real fiat out, that meant a command from whence there was no altering of that command. He always injected, I am the Lord. In other words, I'm the Lord that issued this fiat, this order, this decree, and I'll not change it. Praise God. I'm glad he don't change it. There he put that decree. He put his mark behind it to make it a decree. I am the Lord that said this. All the firstborn are mine, both of man and beast, they shall be mine. They are hallowed unto me, saith the Lord. The firstborn and his inheritance. I want you to turn now to Deuteronomy, the 21st chapter, verses 16 and 17. Deuteronomy 21, 16 and 17. Then it shall be, when he maketh his sons to inherit that which he hath, that he may not make the son of the beloved firstborn before the son of the hated, which is indeed the firstborn. But he shall acknowledge the son of the hated for the firstborn by giving him a double portion of all that he hath. For he is the beginning of his strength. The right of the firstborn is his. The firstborn had a right to an inheritance among his brethren that he would receive at least a double portion. He'd get double of what his brethren received because he had the right of a firstborn. He was the beginning of the strength of his father. All right, I want you to turn to Psalm 89. Psalm, the 89th chapter, verses 20. Then I'm going to skip down some verses on down through verse 33. Psalm 89 and 20. God said, I have found David, my servant. With my holy oil have I anointed him. With whom my hand shall be established, mine arm also shall strengthen him. The enemy shall not exact upon him, nor the son of wickedness afflict him. And I will beat down his foes before his face and plague them that hate him. Praise God. Remember, the title of this message is The Firstborn and What His Inheritance Consists Of. Now, this is some of that inheritance that he would receive as a double portion above his brethren for being the firstborn and having the right of the firstborn. Verse 24, Psalm 89 continue. My faithfulness and my mercy shall be with him, and in my name shall his horn be exalted. That means his authority. I will set his hand also in the sea, and his right hand in the rivers. He shall cry unto me, Thou art my Father, my God, and the rock of my salvation. Boy, listen to verse 27. Also I will make him my firstborn, higher than the kings of the earth. You want to be higher than a king? Then accept the inheritance of a firstborn with its birthright and its blessing and responsibility. See, the birthright is indicative of a responsibility that goes along with the inheritance. And then with your birthright, there comes a blessing which is a double portion above your brethren. I tell you, that's a wonderful inheritance. And it's something that you can only have by being God's firstborn through Jesus Christ. And then he goes on. Verse 30. If his children forsake my law and walk not in my judgments, if they break my statutes and keep not my commandments, what will I do to him? What am I going to do to my firstborn if he gets out of order? If he gets disobedient? If he begins to be reluctant and rebellious, what am I going to do to get him back in line with my perfect will? He said, I'll visit their transgression with a rod and their iniquity with stripes. Nevertheless, my loving kindness will I not utterly take away from him, nor suffer my faithfulness to fail. I'll chasten him. That's what I'll do, God says. I'll visit his transgression with a rod, and I with stripes, I will chasten him because of his iniquity. and that's to turn him back, that he will accept the responsibility so he can receive the full double portion of the blessing that goes with this great birthright by being the firstborn in the family of God. Now, we want to turn to the New Testament here to see if this continues on, this lineage of birthright. The birthright holder continues through the new covenant or the New Testament that God left us through Jesus Christ. In Romans the 8th chapter, in verse 29, "For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren." You know, every one of us can have that legacy. Every Christian can have the legacy of the firstborn as the birthright holder with its responsibility and its blessing if we will accept the responsibility that goes with it. If we don't accept the responsibility, then we cannot partake and be a birthright holder as one who has a legacy of a firstborn. "For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren." And I'll tell you, then it goes on and said, "Whom he did predestinate, them he also called. And whom he called, them he also justified. And whom he justified, them he also glorified." And if God chooses you to be a birthright holder, to be the chief among brethren as the firstborn, all right, verse 31, "What shall we then say to these things?" Here's what you say: if God be for me, who can be against me? He called me to be a firstborn among many brethren. See, that shows you right there that all the brethren aren't firstborn. They aren't holders of the legacy of being the firstborn or the birthright holder. See, there's a responsibility that determines our position in the great family of God. There can be many brethren who hold the birthright, but it is always determined by our acceptance or reluctance to accept the responsibility that determines whether we are the firstborn or not, or whether we come second or third or somewhere down the line in the family of God. In Colossians, the first chapter, there's a little expanding more on this particular subject. In Colossians, the first chapter, beginning in verse 14, "In whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature." See, Jesus was God's firstborn. David was the firstborn of the Lord. And you go right on back in the fourth chapter of Exodus, and you'll find that God spoke to Moses and said, "You go tell Pharaoh that Israel is my son, even my firstborn. And if you don't let my son go, I'll slay your firstborn." There's a lot of firstborns. Ephraim was a firstborn in the legacy of Israel. Joseph was a firstborn, and his sons inherited it. Jacob was a firstborn and inherited the birthright. The birthright was his because he desired to accept the responsibility, and Esau despised his birthright. And God let him take it away from him through deception because he desired it so very strongly. Boy, when you begin to think about the great and wonderful blessing, the inheritance, and all those wonderful things that happen to the birthright holder, all of those gifts, all of those wonderful outflows of the kingdom of God in the fruit of the Spirit, in being reproductive as one of the children of God that reproduces other sons and daughters to the glory of God, then it certainly behooves us to look upon it with soberness and determine whether we're going to be a birthright holder and accept the legacy of the firstborn with its corresponding and harmonizing responsibilities, because the blessing depends upon us accepting the responsibility. If we don't accept the responsibility of a birthright holder, then the blessing doesn't follow, because first comes the responsibility. When we're saved and adopted, and by the way, we wasn't born into the family of God.